Thank you for joining us on EZ's Community Focus, a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. One of our most valuable resources here has been working for 35 years to make sure our neighbors have enough to eat. You know, as they say, changing lives one meal at a time. If you have lived here long enough, you remember when it was known as the Daily Bread Food Bank. Well, in 35 years, more has changed than just the name. They serve a larger area, reach more people, save more money while providing more food, literally doing what their name says, feeding South Florida. With September being Hunger Action Month, we want to find out what actions Feeding South Florida has planned and what we can do to help them achieve their mission. It is always a pleasure to welcome the CEO of Feeding South Florida, Paco Velez. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us, Ellen.
It's been 4 years now that you've been CEO. How have things changed since you took over at Feeding South Florida?
So you shared a little bit about what's changed. We've been fortunate to have great community support, not only on the food side, but also on the monetary side and the volunteer side, in order to increase our food delivery from just under 29 million pounds of food to the community to over 44 million pounds of food to the community.
That's in 1 year, 44 million pounds of food.
Correct, yes,
and
over the course of the year.
That's such a staggering number. How many people, how many meals, what does that translate to?
So it's over 784,000 individuals that are struggling to put food on the table from Palm Beach down to the Keys in those four county area. And for us, that translates to about 36, 37 million meals that we've been able to provide. For those struggling to put food on the table, most of the individuals that we serve or the families that we served have at least one working adult. So it's really the folks that are having to make that decision between putting food on the table or paying rent or paying their utilities. There's a gap that exists, and we try to fill that gap as best we can.
We keep hearing more about families like that, where people are working, but it's just not quite enough to cover everything they need. And unfortunately, as you say, food is sometimes what gets left behind when it's a choice of paying the rent or paying the electric bill. Or buying medications. So how do you find the families that need help, or how do they find you?
So there's a few ways. First and foremost, it's through media like this. Folks hear who we are and what we do and realize that there is a resource out there where they can get healthy, nutritious food for themselves and for their children. We also work with a network of about 400 nonprofit organizations around the four-county area known as food pantries and soup kitchens and congregate feeding sites. And so these partner organizations are embedded in the neighborhoods, especially low-income neighborhoods where families need that assistance. And so they go to our partner agencies. A lot of times the families that need assistance don't realize that it's Feeding South Florida providing that food or those meals through that partner agency. But our partner agencies are truly that. They are our partners, and they do a fantastic job of ensuring that our families are well-fed.
Okay. So in money terms, you're the Fed. And they're the little banks, something
exactly.
like that. But
exactly.
It's like you collect the large quantities and then deliver it, and then they can take it to a more personal level.
Correct. And it's you talk about the bank terms or the money terms. Last year, it was over $65 million in grocery items that went out to our families.
That's fantastic. Now, where do you get $65 million of food from? How much of that is money that you're putting out? How much is in-kind donations? Who are the people that are supplying those levels of food?
So we're in a great place. You mentioned earlier folks are struggling to put food on the table. There's a gap. We live in a paradise, right? Mm-hmm. We're in Palm Beach, Broward, Miami-Dade, and the Keys. And everybody, this is a destination spot for a lot of folks. But for the folks that are helping us put food on the table, the folks that work in on the farms, the folks that work in kitchens, folks that work at some of the places where we stay, aren't able to put food on their own table. And so that's where we work with these growers. We work with a lot of growers, a lot of packing houses, a lot of importers of fruits and vegetables. to really get a lot of that fresh, nutritious, healthy product onto the tables of our families. But we also work with a lot of distribution centers and retail grocers. We partner with over 500 retail stores across our four-county area, including Publix, Walmart, Sam's Club, Winn-Dixie, Targets, BJ's. And we have a fleet of trucks that goes around and picks up from these retail stores every single day and gets it onto the tables of our families. So we're fortunate to not only have to live in a region where produce is in abundance,
right,
but where the community understands the need and is willing to help in any way they can.
I'm so glad you talk about the fresh fruit and vegetables, because if I'm not mistaken, it's always been in my head, and maybe it used to be this way, that when you talk about a food drive, it's always cans. Get canned goods, and that's limited in what you can offer someone and how nutritious you can make it. When did fresh become part of the program?
So the canned goods serve a purpose. They're shelf-stable. You can use them for not only years down the road, but they also last longer than their so-called expiration or best of use by date. So they're fantastic in that you can hold them for a long time, as opposed to the perishable items that you can only have for about a week, give or take a couple of days. And it's just been as we've researched, and Feeding America, our national member organization, conducted a research or a survey in Florida and determined that over 300 million pounds of fresh produce was going to waste every single year just in the state of Florida. And most of that went to waste in the way that farmers would just till it back into the fields and they wouldn't harvest it. So food banks across the state were looking for innovative ways of gleaning that produce, getting it to the food bank, and then getting it onto the table of our families. And so it was just a new frontier for us. We hardly had refrigeration back in the day, just because it's expensive.
Right.
But now, because of the abundance or overabundance of vegetables and the growing of produce, we made that investment in cold storage and cold or refrigerated vehicles in order to pick it up and transport it safely.
Okay. And when you're talking about getting these large quantities from the Publix, the Walmart, on a daily basis, how do they determine what they're going to give you each day?
So they have a great program, and I'll talk about Publix since we just had a training with the Publix managers. They have two different programs that they work with. Publix is going to zero waste, and they want to keep as much out of our landfills as possible. And there's a lot of retailers that are doing this. Publix is actively involved in zero waste. And so they have two different places where they would put some of the produce. If the produce is still good, they go through and they glean every day some of the produce that's on their stands or their tables, and they'll set it aside for Feeding South Florida. If it's not ready to eat, or if it's not good for human consumption, then they'll put it into what's called an organics program, and that goes back into composting.
Okay.
So the manager and the receivers and the associates at Publix are able to determine what's good for the families and what isn't. And so they have a great program for that.
So I'm just thinking about these 400 or 500 retailers each day. They're putting these things aside. Now it has to get from them to you, from you to the food pantries, from the pantries to the people. How do you turn it around that fast when you're dealing with fresh food?
So that's the non-sexy part of what we do, right? You know, folks want to say, you know, let's work with children's programs, senior programs. Let's get directly involved with some of the families that need assistance. But for us, the biggest issue is logistics or transportation.
Right.
Getting it from those who have it onto the tables of those who need it, and every step in the process. So for us, we have a fleet of 17 refrigerated vehicles, and all our drivers are food handler certified. All our trucks are refrigerated, and so we want to make sure that we're maintaining the integrity of all the product that we pick up and we deliver. So I mentioned we work with 400 different partner organizations. They in turn If we look at a for-profit model, they in turn are our retail outlets.
Okay.
And then our families go to them to access food on a biweekly, monthly basis, depending on how often they would need that service.
What does a bag of food that's going to a family that needs it look like nowadays compared with what it might have looked like 10, 15 years ago?
So back in the day, I'm sure a lot of folks may remember that it was the cheese and butter days of distribution, and that was primarily USDA commodities or the Emergency Food Assistance Program from the government. It's really evolved into a very robust, nutritious type food box or bag, and it really depends on the frequency that families need the food and their partner agencies or the access to our partner agencies. So they'll get canned goods, they'll get breads, they'll get frozen product like meats and other perishable items, and then they'll also get some produce. Especially living down here in South Florida, we get lots of cucumbers, bell peppers, green beans. We get a lot of great bananas from Chiquita, and so it's just a great variety for our families, and it's a healthy variety for our families, which is very important, especially as kids are going back to school.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit later about a food drive that we're going to be doing together with you on September 18th. Pembroke Lakes Mall has been partnering with us to do monthly drives for various charities. And since September is Hunger Action Month, we wanted to make you our baby. And I want to get more information from you about what people can bring. But before we do that, you're talking about these nutritious meals that you're providing. In addition to actually providing the food, one of the programs that Feeding South Florida does is nutrition education.
Correct.
Who gets that education? Are you educating the pantries and then they educate the people? Do you educate the schools? Who are you reaching out to?
It's a little bit of everything when we talk about nutrition education. We work directly with the families. There's a lot of individuals, especially folks that are not familiar with certain produce. You get star fruit, you get Japanese eggplant, and a lot of families don't really know how to prepare something like that. Even asparagus, some folks don't know what asparagus what it is, much less how to prepare it. So what we do is we do demonstrations for our families at the distribution site, and then we provide samples to the families, and then a recipe, an easy to make recipe,
wow, okay.
So they can turn around and prepare it for their family in a healthy way. But we also work with our partner agencies and educate them on healthy eating habits, as well as putting recipes together for them, especially if we're getting multiple truckloads of a commodity that may not be very popular or very that folks have not really had any kind of interaction with. So we share recipes with them as well. So we work with our partner agencies. We work directly with the families. We'll work with anybody. We just want to make sure that folks are open to receiving the product, the healthy product, and then preparing it in a great way. And then also budgeting their food wisely. You know, there's portion control as well as don't eat everything in one sitting.
Right, yeah. Right. And what about things like learning how to freeze certain products and keep them for later, or, you know, make a large portion of a meal and then make single servings and put them in the freezer?
That's one of the things that we want to get into is the blanching process and how folks can get some of the produce, blanch it, put it in the freezer, and they can use it at any time.
Right.
As opposed to just shoving it in the freezer, then it's probably not going to be any good. So that's more of an advanced nutrition education course for our families.
Okay.
But we're definitely looking forward to getting to that place with our families and our partners.
Okay. I'm really curious, when you come face to face with kids and, you know, they turn on the TV and they're bombarded, as are the parents, with advertisements for junk food and delicious sounding treats and snacks, or they go to school and the friends are taking out the cakes and the cookies and the chips. How do you address that with the families?
Well, that those commercials and that stuff happens even to adults.
Yeah, I know.
we try to make nutrition education fun. And by one, you talk about raising carrots, right? So you put, you take a celery stalk, you cut it into about a 4-inch slice or a 4-inch piece, you stick toothpicks in it, and then you slice carrots roundwise, and so you use those as wheels, and then you have peanut butter.
How fun.
So you make these things that are pretty fun for kids, and it gets them engaged, it gets them in the kitchen, it gets them cooking or putting something together or a snack together, and it's a healthy snack. And so looking for ways to make it inviting and open for kids to try new things is what we try to do with some of the younger folks. But it's difficult, especially when like you mentioned, they're bombarded, or their parents don't have time to make anything,
right,
or don't know how to make anything.
Right.
So the easiest thing is to stop at a drive-thru, and you're pretty much done.
Right.
Especially if you have a dollar menu,
yeah,
you can get all kinds of stuff. And when we work with kids, we find out that kids have a little bit more say than what people think when it comes to shopping. They say, "Here's what we want. Here's what we want. This is what we were taught. Get this, don't get that."
I have no doubt, because as a parent, I'm sure the parents don't want to hear the arguments and have to start a discussion in the middle of a store about, no, you're not getting that. And then they're, you know, having a scene.
Yes.
But what do you do? I mean, do you get kids who say, well, can't we get some Doritos, for example, or, you know, where are the donuts?
We hear that all the time, but what I've seen more with children is really their, and this is what, when people ask me, you know, or tell me, your job must be so rewarding, and on one hand it is, it really is. You're able to nourish a community, to serve families, and this is the entire staff of Feeding South Florida, our partner agency network, our food donors, our volunteers, our monitors, everybody that's involved with Feeding South Florida has a hand in serving our community, and we're super appreciative of that fact. But when you look at somebody and you see a family and you see a child, and this happens quite a bit, when the child comes in, sees an apple, sees a banana, sees something, and they take it and they bite into it because they are hungry.
Right.
And so you stop and think, and there's so much more that needs to be done.
Right.
You know, I mentioned earlier 44 million pounds of food. This community can easily handle double.
Wow.
And so when you look at the kids and you look at the families, they're so appreciative of what they're receiving, but they truly need more assistance. And that's where yes, it is satisfying on one hand, but on the other side, it's just very... let's say frustrating. It's just stressful in the sense that what else can we do to help?
Right. It feels like it's always unfinished. And that's one of my questions is, how do you get people, and this doesn't fall under what Feeding South Florida does, where do they turn, where can they turn to get to a position where they don't need the assistance anymore?
So that's one of the things is that's happened. So you have the federal minimum wage that's a little over, I think it's $7.35 an hour. And then you have Florida's minimum wage that's $8.05 an hour. At the federal level, you have these federal benefits like food stamps or SNAP. You know, SNAP is food stamps. And so you need to be a U.S. citizen to qualify. You need to have a job to qualify. And you need to, a family of four has to make about $30,000 or less in order to qualify. That's family of four, $30,000 or less.
Impossible to live on, pretty much.
Exactly. So when you have two working adults working minimum wage at $8.05 an hour for an entire year, you've just moved them out of qualifying for those benefits. Now they're making $32,000, $33,000 a year. So for that $2,000 or $3,000 increase, you've wiped out thousands of dollars in food stamp benefits or SNAP benefits. Not only that, but the same percentage for SNAP is the same percentage for free breakfast and free lunch for the kids at school. So now you've wiped away free breakfast and free lunch. So a lot of our families are struggling because of this small increase in minimum wage,
right,
without the federal benefits keeping up with that increase. So that's a huge issue for our families as well.
Once again, we're speaking with Paco Velez, the CEO of Feeding South Florida. This organization, as you're hearing, there's a need for 750,000 people in our area from the Keys to Palm Beach who are, I believe they call it, food insecure.
Correct.
What can people do? I mean, you're doing so much. You've got retail partners. You've got the farmers working with you, our produce growers here. Thank goodness that they're involved with that. What can an individual do? You know, even as I was talking about how we're going to have this food drive September 18th, it feels like it's so little relative to what you have going on. And we say, well, every little bit helps. Does it?
It absolutely does.
Okay.
I mean, you can't help a community unless there's a lot of people involved. Even if it's, you know, 5 meals here, 20 meals there, it takes all those meals to reach the 44 million pounds to serve our families.
Okay.
And every pound counts. Every individual counts, and we want to make sure we're serving everyone.
All right. So what are the items that you need other than cash? Mm-hmm. Donating cash, always great.
Always.
The website is feedingsouthflorida.org. But if someone wants to have a food drive, like we're going to do, September 18th, Pembroke Lakes Mall will be there from 1 to 5 p.m. We are asking you to come and help fill the bins. We've said before, canned goods, but also non-perishables don't have to be in a can.
Correct.
There are things like peanut butter that's not in a can.
Cereal.
Okay. What are some of the things that are most useful?
The things that are useful for our families are going to be the rice, the beans, the pastas, peanut butter, any kind of canned meats. There's chicken and salmon mm-hmm. in a can. You talked about peanut butter. That always helps. So it's really those staple items, especially grain. Like the brown rice,
quinoa,
that stuff. As well as different kinds of protein for our families.
Okay. Are there things that should absolutely not, like on an individual food drive, would we want to provide fresh food, or is that best coming from the retailers?
It's best coming from the retailers as well as coming from the growers. When we work with the growers, we get semi-truckload quantities of product, which means 40,000 pounds at one shot. So we take this 18-wheeler truck, we go to the grower, we go to the packing house, we go to the ports, and
right.
we pick up 24 full pallets of fresh produce, very fresh produce, recently picked or recently imported, and a lot of the times the bananas are extremely green and they're good for many, many days.
Yeah.
And so we're excited about that. Same thing with potatoes, same thing with everything that we get. So it's very fresh, sometimes even more fresh than you'll find at the store. And so we get that out to our families. But we like to do that with our retail partners as well as our growers because they're able to fill the truck up.
Okay.
So they fill the truck. At Pembroke Lakes Mall, we can fill the bins.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So we're looking at non-perishables, and it doesn't have to be in a can, but there are items in cans like the meats, things that give you your proteins, and think what's a nourishing item, what's good and healthy.
Correct.
And again, money. Now, here's another thing. Once people bring this stuff, and you've got all these pallets, but you now have to get out to your pantries, how many people does it take to divide up an 18-wheeler full of food to make it into packages that can then go out to the smaller locations?
We rely on a huge core of volunteers at Feeding South Florida. 19,000 volunteers last year, just coming through the organization and really separating the good product from the product that should not be distributed. As a matter of fact, this past weekend, we had an amazing event, our annual sortathon, a 24-hour event. Folks coming in, corporations coming in, individuals, schools, other kinds of organizations, just everybody getting involved and coming out, representing their colors, representing their schools, and really having fun sorting through food, making sure that everything that goes out to our families is good for distribution.
Do you see people's viewpoints or their feeling about it change through the process of the packing?
You see a couple of things change. One, you see there's an education component. I didn't realize that the can could go past its expiration date or the mm-hmm. cereal can go past a year and that there's no such thing as an expiration date. It's really more of a packing date because FDA and USDA or nobody recognizes an expiration date. It's fictitious date. So that piece, as well as they don't realize the scope of what we do and the need in the community. And then when we share with them who the folks that rely on us are, it also switches.
Right.
Because less than 1% of the people we serve are homeless. The majority of the people that we serve are working.
Right.
And then we also have seniors who some may be working and some are on SSI and are relying on us to make sure that they have something to put on their table.
And then you also have services available in the event of an emergency or a disaster. Like, thank goodness we didn't have a storm last weekend. Other parts of Florida did. When there's a hurricane and people's kitchens are wiped out, then you must need to be there to provide for that as well.
We do, and we have a great network of food banks across the country. When I was at the San Antonio Food Bank, I remember sending a couple of truckloads here to Miami when there was three hurricanes in a row.
That was 2004, I believe.
Yes. And so I remember sending a couple of truckloads. And that's the power of the Feeding America Network, is that we're able to work together. And now that, you know, there's the flooding in Baton Rouge, a lot of food banks are not only sending water and sending supplies, but because the food bank in Baton Rouge lost all their fleet, we're sending trucks as well. So a lot of the food banks are donating trucks temporarily so they can get all the product out. And so just a couple of weeks ago, we worked with Feeding America and SC Johnson to get a truckload, I think over 55,000 units of mosquito repellent.
Wow.
And we were able to distribute that, especially in the Miami area, but in Broward and Palm Beach, where we saw some of the cases of Zika pop up. But it was a huge benefit to the families. It's not food, but it still helps because it's a luxury for our families. And same thing with disaster. We're here to provide water, cleaning supplies, ice, snacks, whatever it is the family needs, and then ultimately help them with replenishing their pantry if they need that help.
Okay. So you said you have 19,000 volunteers throughout the year. What kind of hours can a volunteer contribute?
So that's the great part. We're available for volunteerism Tuesday through Saturday, every Tuesday through Saturday. We have a shift from 8:30 to 11:30 and a second shift from 1:30 to 4:30. Every day, Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
And then every once in a while, we'll have our sort-a-thons. But we can accommodate up to about 100, 120 people every shift, which means if there's a corporation or some sort of team-building exercise, we can accommodate you.
And you'll show us how to do the packing and, you know, what goes with what. And,
absolutely.
And you're in Pembroke Park, right?
Yes, ma'am. Right off of I-95 and Hollandale Beach Boulevard.
Isn't this a new location? You know, at one point, I think when it was still Daily Bread Food Bank, or maybe it was Feeding South Florida, the building burned down.
That was Daily Bread Food Bank.
Okay.
And I think once we moved, this is prior to my arrival, once we moved to Pembroke Park, that's when Daily Bread Food Bank aligned with Feeding America and rebranded with Feeding South Florida.
Okay. We only have a minute left. What would you want to tell people that would be the most valuable thing that they could do to contribute?
Folks, just get involved.
Okay.
Whether it's with Feeding South Florida or your local pantry or any other cause, get involved. Your voice, your energy, your efforts, your intelligence, anything that you can do to give back to the community would be better off for it. So get involved.
Okay. FeedingSouthFlorida.org is the website. And you can come and meet Paco and other people from Feeding South Florida. They're going to join us at Pembroke Lakes Mall on Sunday, September 18th. We'll be there from 1 to 5 o'clock. We ask you to come and help fill the bins. We'll also have some cash boxes out in case you don't want to carry. You want to just grab a dollar out. Remember, that buys an awful lot of produce. And, you know, they get prices on food that we don't see because you're buying big bulk.
Well, we get it free.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We just need to pay for the drivers and stuff.
Right. And trucks and
yes.
Maintaining trucks and storage space and
Correct.
Refrigeration. So Yes. Okay, just to clarify that. So please look at feedingsouthflorida.org. If you want to put together your own food drive, you can do that, but we're already doing one for you. I urge you to go to our website, easy93.com, click on the Community Connections page. We're going to put up a list of the priority foods that we would ask you to bring, and we hope you'll come and get involved, volunteer, help sort when it's all done, and do your part to help and feed South Florida. Paco Velez from Feeding South Florida, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Easy's Community Focus, a look at the issues that matter and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. If you have comments or would like to suggest a topic, shoot me an email at ellen@easy93.com. Thanks for listening.